I have your attention, please. Good morning again. Good morning. I'm Tom Mack, your senior warden. And on behalf of the rector and wardens and vestry, welcome to this second town hall in a series on our sanctuary preservation and readiness project. As you know, this project is all about seeing that the space we're in today will thrive and survive as we go forward and be capable of withstanding the kind of seismic issues that we may face in the future. Two parts to the project we want to talk about today. First is what to do and how to do it. That's the construction planning and design, and that's where we'll spend most of our time. But we'll also touch on the other critical part, which is raising the capital to pay for all this. Two objectives for the meeting. First, to bring us all up to date on the progress that's been made since our last town hall a year ago. And also, very importantly, to receive your feedback as these plans are taking shape. We're going to ask you to hold your questions until the end, but we have a large block of time reserved for that. Finally, before I get into the project, I want you to know that we have a very strong and deep team of people at work here on this project. I started to meet with the project leadership several months ago, and I can tell you as I look around, we have some of the very best and brightest people in this parish working on this project. So truly, the people in our parish that know how to do this kind of work have come forth. Thanks be to God. And now, speaking of the best and brightest people, I'd like to call on my ever so able partner in leading this parish, our rector, Amy, to lead us in a prayer and then begin our discussion on the project. Amy?
Thank you, Tom. Thank you all for being here today. I'm so grateful to see all of your beautiful faces and to be here with you for the second town hall. What a privilege to be your rector. Shall we pray? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, source of all wisdom and understanding, be present with us as we take counsel for the renewal and mission of your church. Teach us in all things to seek first your honor and glory. Guide us to perceive what is right, and grant us both the courage to pursue it and the grace to accomplish it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the few months that I have been here serving as your rector, I have grown to love this sanctuary. Here in this place, we are surrounded by the story of our faith. Quite literally, the story of our faith encircles us through the stories told in our stained glass windows. They tell the story of the prophets who have spoken God's truth to us through the generations. They tell us of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They witness to the apostles and the saints of old. I find particularly interesting these stained glass windows here that I get to watch whenever I, that I get to watch, that I get to look at, contemplate while I'm presiding from this chair. I love seeing the mountain ranges and the orange groves, the palm trees and the vineyards. Trust me, you do not see these images in stained glass windows in Chicago. And we don't see them there, but we see them here because they remind us that the story of our faith is contextualized in time and space. For us, the story of our faith is lived out in what I call Southern California, but I think it's really Central California, isn't it? Still having to learn the ways of my people. South Coast, there we go. So our faith is lived right here in the South Coast of California, right here, right now, which reminds us that this sanctuary houses our story too. This is our spiritual home because we live out our lives here. We're washed in the waters of baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Here we're taught the stories of our faith in word and sacrament. We're fed at the altar each week with spiritual food to give us hope for living and strength for serving as living members of the body of Christ. And here we promise our devotion to our beloved and holy matrimony. We celebrate births and joyfully offer our children to God at the font, that they too might know the saving love of Christ and join with us in ministry in his name. And in this holy place, we bring our fears and our grief, a new diagnosis, a deeply fractured relationship, the death of our beloved. And we find hope and healing here. Through those very same sacred stories that are passed down through the ages and made real for us here through this community of faith. What a sacred treasure has been given to us. What a sacred treasure and trust has been placed in our hands to nurture, to pass down through the generations. My friends, this is what the Sanctuary Preservation and Readiness Project is all about. Making firm a foundation for Christians to be made and formed and nurtured for generations to come. It is without a doubt that this sanctuary, our sacred home, is crying out for us to tend to her. Her bell tower is unstable. Her west end is not secured to a foundation. And upon further analysis by engineers, it was determined that the lateral supports of our building are insufficient to ensure that she'll survive a significant earthquake. Now, fortunately, our architect is here to speak to these issues with much more efficacy than your priest can. But as your priest, I can affirm that this building that we love so much is telling us that she needs our tender, loving care. She needs us to give back to her some of that nurture that she has given to us throughout our lives here. And she needs it now, so that we can ensure that this sacred treasure is still here for generations to come, to form the faithful, so that we can in turn change the world through Christ's love. Now I'm going to turn the floor over to Chip Nichols and Bob Easton, who will speak further about the structural needs of the building and share with you our preliminary plans. And we're going to have time later in the presentation for question and answers. We've reserved one time for question and answers in order to manage our time best. So we have provided a piece of paper for you, though. It should be the pink piece of paper. Do they get a pink piece of paper? Oh, it's all different colors. Well, we've created a virtual rainbow of colors upon which upon which you can record your questions as they come up for you so that you don't lose your question. And then during the question and answer time, you can either ask that question to us or please, we ask you to turn those questionnaires in at the end of our time together today to either me or to one of the vestry members, to one of the people who present, or Stephanie Helper, may I introduce you quickly? Or to Stephanie Helper, who is our new campaign assistant hired just last week. So wonderful to have you with us, Stephanie. So please do write your questions as they come up and make sure that those papers get back into our hands. All right. Thank you, Chip.
Good morning.
Good morning.
At the risk of telling some of you stuff you already know, I wanted to spend just a couple of minutes going back over the antecedents of this project that we're talking about, which go quite far back. I mean, for one thing, this is the third town hall meeting we've had on the subject. If following up on meetings in September of 2013 and May of 2014. But the roots really go back further than that. One element of the project dates back to 2006, when we got quite far along toward getting county approval for an outdoor memorial garden with spaces for interment of ashes. Ultimately, we withdrew our application in the face of some fairly entrenched neighborhood opposition. We believe that we're prepared for those issues this time. In 2009, your vestry commissioned a study by an independent building inspector of the safety and building code compliance of all nine buildings on our campus. It identified numerous items that required repair and upgrade, and spent some $275,000 of budgeted and invested funds accomplishing those things. That was largely completed in 2011, with one notable exception. So in 2011, the vestry began a very thorough and deliberate future-directed needs assessment, which included a parish-wide survey that many of you participated in completing. Through this process, it was determined that a number of important improvements were needed to make this beautiful and sacred building ready to serve our congregation and our wider community for the next 100 years. The top of the list was the one thing in the building inspector's report we had not done, which was his recommendation that we inspect the structural integrity of the bell tower and the foundations and remediate if necessary. Well, it was necessary. The report came back, which you all have heard before now, that the bell tower essentially is a freestanding stone structure with crumbling mortar and a core of rubble. And that the foundations under the oldest part of the sanctuary, which is the west end, are minimal at best, and that the church is not tied down to it in very many places. As a side note, many of you know that this sanctuary suffered horrific damage in the 1925 earthquake, when it was considerably younger and more supple. While the sanctuary was not totaled then, it cost more to repair in inflation-adjusted dollars than it did to build in 1900. Beyond the seismic strengthening, the 2011 parish-wide survey responses asked for improvements in accessibility, enhanced lighting, acoustics, and sound systems, adequate heating and air conditioning, repair or replacement of our organ, better use of available space for worship and formation, and renewed efforts to establish a columbarium. So it was clear that we had to address the seismic issues, and still do. Then the question was, do we proceed with that separately, or do we try to address all these issues together with one master plan, a master permit, a project architect, engineer, and general contractor, and a single capital campaign? Your vestry considered these questions and determined that a piecemeal approach would not be cost-effective, would require repeated disruptions to the usability of the sanctuary, and would involve us in an endless succession of fundraising appeals that would be antithetical to what we really come together to do here. So it was decided to ask what you felt about it in another parish-wide survey in August of 2013 and a town hall meeting in September, and the consensus was to proceed cautiously, keeping the parish informed each step of the way and making no change to the look and feel of the sanctuary that was not absolutely necessary. So the vestry engaged the Dalzell firm and Van Sant Engineering to make temporary repairs to the sanctuary foundations and began planning ways and means to address the needed bell tower and foundation upgrades and the improvements you had all called for in the two parish-wide surveys. As part of this effort, the vestry engaged Jeff Conway to help us develop a capital campaign. Jeff has done a spectacular job, and we'll be updating you a little later on the progress of the campaign to date. So at the town hall meeting a little over a year ago on May 18th, Jacques Sewell's conceptual drawings were shown, and we discussed the then very preliminary project budget. Shortly after that, at Jock's urging, we engaged the full service architectural firm of Bob Easton to further develop Jock's plans and help us bring this project to fruition, along with local architect Richard Thorne, whom we engaged as project manager, and who is here today, happily. Richard, could you stand up and take a bow, please? Thank you. What Bob will show you in a moment is the product of a great deal of work over the past 12 months by Bob's firm in conjunction with Richard and a host of other professionals, by your vestry, your staff, your clergy, and many, many involved parishioners. So, to the key elements of the project. Could we put that slide up? Excellent. I'm not allowed to use clickers. God knows what would happen. So the bell tower and sanctuary seismic strengthening includes dismantling the tower, numbering the pieces for use in reconstruction, digging proper footings, and constructing an identical tower around reinforced concrete core and steel framing. Building properly footed foundations around the south, west, and north sides of the sanctuary and tying the sanctuary to them, and bracing the building laterally in both its north, south, and east, west axes. New pipe organ covers removal of our ailing electro-pneumatic instrument, which, as you know, is only about 30% functional, and installing a new traditional tracker pipe organ in the space behind the existing reredos. Your organ committee has labored many, many months and done huge amounts of research and has narrowed the field of potential replacement organs. ADA restrooms, working areas, and Seaside Chapel envisions repurposing the existing vesting room and other rooms on the south side, including creating new sacred space to serve the needs of our children's and family ministries that also can be opened up to become part of the main sanctuary and be another means of egress to the patio, plus creating two ladies and two men's ADA-compliant lavatories and adding 800 square feet in the rear of the building for improved working spaces. Accessibility improvements include lowering the altar platform, installing a small mechanical lift, and moving the communion rail to the main floor level to make it accessible to all. The memorial chapel would be created from behind the north chapel, this area, which currently, in space that currently houses excess organ pipes, as a space for remembering our departed and housing columbarium niches. Landscaping includes repairing construction damage, unifying the look and feel of our campus, and creating spaces for fellowship, formation, and youth activities. And the endowment and invested reserves are to assure the perpetual maintenance of the sanctuary and support the new and broadened ministries it will house. Bob Easton will be presenting the principal design elements as they now stand, and as Amy said, they do continue to be a work in progress, pending a number of inputs, including yours. And then Reverend Amy will share with us the theological underpinnings of this work. Bob Easton is a 1964 graduate of Berkeley and a 1967 graduate of the Architectural Association School of Architecture in London. He has been responsible for magnificent buildings throughout California and the Southwest. Notable local historic buildings that he has renovated have included the Montecito Country Club and the old firehouse in the Upper Village. Bob has a number of slides, and as Amy said, we would ask that as questions occur to you, jot them down on your blue piece of paper, and there will be ample time later to ask them and hopefully have them answered or to turn them in. So I'll turn it over to Bob.
Thank you. pardon the glitch here, it was sliding out of the holder. Yeah, I'll do the first slide there. Yeah, hello everybody, and it's been a privilege to work with the church and be involved with this great building and try to bring it forward another 100 years. We have found some historic slides. This is Eucalyptus Lane, and we don't have a date for it, but it does look like a horse-drawn carriage there on the right. That the building built in 1900 was built in 6 weeks for a few thousand bucks. So things are different these days. So, Sherry, what you have to change the slide, right? Which button here? I can't. To the right. Okay, great. Thanks. Oh. Oh, there it is. Okay. This picture I found was taken in 1906. So as you can see, it is the original building, and it is basically just the center nave area, and the two aisles were added at some later time. But this is the only interior shot from the old church that we can find here in the records they have here at the church office. And so this, I would imagine, is what the building looked like in 1925 when the big earthquake hit, because the record also says that this particular hammerhead truss, arch truss interior, and probably the side aisles were built in 1930. And I would imagine that if there was significant damage in 1925, that it would have taken a number of years to decide what to do and raise the funds and rebuild the church then, which happened in 5 years later. This is the existing floor plan, just to give you a frame of reference. Let me go back here. This is the one I wanted to show next, which is the site plan. And the potential addition that Chip mentioned is back here. And it does kind of take out the playground that's there. And perhaps that would be relocated. The landscape work